Wonderful. So I love what Jake read there in 1 Timothy, how Paul said, you know, Christ enabled me. That's just such a beautiful line, isn't it? A beautiful verse that, I mean, it's the story of our lives, that God has enabled us, you know. Everything that we do for the Lord is just a miracle that he can do that with such a motley crew of us, right? Just sinners saved by grace. And he has indeed chosen the foolish things of the world, the weak things, to confound the wise. And so I love that verse, but that is a story of my life. I mean, I grew up in South El Monte. Anybody know where El Monte is? We call it Monte, right? Yeah. So why do you go like this, man? What are you, from Baldwin Park or what? But I grew up in South El Monte in a broken home, guys. You know, my father left at birth and just a broken home. Mom wasn't interested, and, you know, I ended up at about 15 years of age finally hitting my stepfather back. You know, he was very abusive. And then I joined a gang. You know, it was what I thought I would never do. As a kid, I never thought I'd take that route. You know, that just wasn't me. I wasn't violent. I wasn't a bully, though it might look like it, my size. But, you know, it just wasn't me. I was a skinny kid in a tough neighborhood. The gang's been there since, you know, I don't know, the 40s, the 30s. It's old, you know, old gangs. And the culture there was really good in a lot of ways, but hard in a lot of ways. You know, it's not like normal elementary schools, junior high schools, and high schools, that's for sure. You know, there's a lot of drugs and Mexican mafia influence. And so, I mean, everybody was ready for a fight there. I mean, you had to be. Even the nerds can fight. Everyone had to fight, or you just couldn't survive. And so I ended up joining the gang, and for 9 years, that was my life, just making my name in that life. And ended up, it was a gang that was just starting out. It was a clique in the San Gabriel Valley. We had chapters and stuff, and I ended up just making my way to the top, not really because that was like my ambition. I was just so angry, probably from the abuse as a kid. You guys are psychoanalyzing me here, probably from that, but I just became very violent towards those who would mess with my friends. And so just lived that life. More altercations than I can remember. More, it's just life. I got used to it. I was a victim as a kid, so I was very fearful, and then that all went away, and I became this thing in my neighborhood. And drugs and womanizing and all that stuff that goes with it, and just emptiness of soul. And God began to send Christians into my life. He just began to parachute them into my life. I never heard the gospel. My grandmother would take me to mass, you know, to Catholic church, but it was in Spanish, so, you know, no hablo mucho español, so it was like, you know. But I remember as a kid, like, really attracted to the idea of God. I just didn't know him. And then I was eventually invited to Calvary Chapel Golden Springs. And I heard the word of God, and the word of God just began to just tear my heart apart like it does. And I said, I'm not ready, but I like what I'm hearing. So I kept going, like living in sin, but I'd go like faithfully to church on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Sunday nights, and just listen to Raw tell us all we're going to go to hell if we don't repent. And so, and then on a Wednesday night, Wednesdays are important. Midweeks are awesome. I got saved on a midweek, and Raw wasn't even there. It was David Rosales that was substituting for Raw. And I got saved. The sinful woman in Luke 7. It was a sinful woman who came to Jesus and fell at her feet, and he was at Simon's house. So, man, I had a couple beefs with God, and we got squared away right there that day that, you know, what happened to me as a kid was not my fault. He shared with me in my soul. And that's what happens, son, when people choose not to have me as their Lord. They raise kids in messed up ways. It can be. And in my situation, it was. I was meant to go through that. I was meant to go through what I went through, for the grace of God and for the glory of his grace, that people would see, like Paul said in that 1 Timothy, like, so people will know, so those who come after Paul would know that's what our God does. He saves messes and gives us eternal life, gives us new hearts, new life. So I got saved, and then just got plugged into church, you know, at Golden Springs. And then I was working in Orange County at the time, so I got invited to a Costa Mesa event, like college and career group thing, and I just went there. I was single, and they were all very loving, and there was a ton of single sisters there, and so I stayed at that place and just unlearned. I thought that I'd never fit in there. People from Orange County were, I called them from Pretty World. Did you guys get that? From Pretty World. You know, moms and dads growing up, that's Pretty World to me, you know. No drugs, no alcohol. I think someone smoked pot one time on campus at Costa Mesa, like, because my wife went to the high school there. And Chuck did a full-blown fast, like, it just shut everything down. And rightfully, but that wasn't the world that I came from. But I'm there, and God blessed me at the church there. And I was there with Chuck Smith for, close to 4 years. And I met a wife. I got married to a girl from Pretty World, way on the other side of the tracks, because I'm sorry, that's what our Lord does. You know, he takes the most unlikely of us and blesses us with eternal blessings, and she's one of them. So I just snatched her up, took her to El Monte for about 6 months. We had to get out of there, and we moved out to Beaumont. Eventually got in the ministry through the Lord's opening doors. Eventually started a home Bible study out here. I was an assistant pastor in Romoland with Jerry Brown, Calvary Chapel. And then the Bible study grew, and we birthed the church there. The Lord did that and blessed it. And so we're in Banning, and that's our story. And of God and what he does. Amen? So are we in Romans 13:8? Let's read it. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And so I like that. Paul here writing to the church at Rome. And again, the idea or the theme in this chapter, as Paul is speaking to the church at Rome, is in light of the end times. And it's crazy because this is 2,000 years ago, and like the church was just starting out, but the Lord, through Paul, wanted the church, every generation, to be ready for the coming of the Lord. And here we are, and it's closer. And what he's saying here is, do no one no harm. Love one another. Do no one no harm. Love one another. Jesus was asked about, what is the greatest commandment? Remember that in Matthew 22. A lawyer came and tested him and said, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You should love the Lord you should love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And so all of these commandments that God has put forth for his people, it's all wrapped up in two greatest commandments. That's love God with everything you have and love your neighbor as yourself. It all rests there. It's all wrapped up there. It's simple. Christianity is simple. We are men who are called, who it is our pleasure to love God more than anyone or anything, to love God more than anything. That is our highest, chief goal is to love God more than anybody, more than our wives, more than our children, more than our friends, more than our careers, more than ourselves. It's to love God with everything that we have, spirit, soul, and body, and then likewise to love your neighbor as yourself. But all the commandments are wrapped up in that. The commandments that Paul names here, you shall not commit adultery. That's the seventh commandment of the Ten Commandments. You shall not commit murder, the sixth. You shall not bear false witness, the eighth. You shall not covet, the tenth. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And so he names these things, and these things are pretty serious sins, right? They're big, right? Do not commit adultery, you know, do not murder, do not steal. These are big things. And no doubt God is calling us to not do these things, right? To love one another. Especially because we're in the last days, God is, I feel more than ever, calling the church and calling men to really be good to one another like never before. To really be good to one another, to the brothers in the faith. To love each other like we've never loved each other before. It's more serious than ever in the history of the church because of how crazy things are. How rapidly things have declined in every way. And the scarier part, it's not that the world's like nuts. The scarier part for me is the apostasy of the churches. It's the pastors that are not warning the people anymore. They care more about self-preservation, pensions, filling seats, rather than doing what God has called us all to do, which is to teach, to warn, to love, and to let the results be to God. Whether it's to our detriment, it doesn't matter. We love God. I mean, they killed our Savior, naked and all. Why would I care to preserve my life in fear of warning people? It's what he's called pastors to do, but it's what he's called all Christian men to be. To, you know, gird up our loins like men, as it says in the Bible. To be men. It's a beautiful thing. And so God is calling us to love. The madness we've seen, it's like nothing we've seen in our generation. And I was listening to Pastor Chuck today, and I thought, oh, Lord, if he was here still, oh, my goodness, he would, I mean, so many things would be different because things are different now. You know, we always knew that they'd get worse, but we didn't know that, like, clearly what's wicked is being taught as being good. The perversion towards the kids, the indoctrination, the brainwashing, the demasculation of men, making men be wimps and all kinds of weird philosophies that the left is throwing out. And unfortunately, the church is embracing these things because pastors are losing faith. Faith in what? Faith in what God tells us we are. That we're men of God. That we're kings and priests unto our Lord. That he formed us while we were in our mother's womb. That he has a plan and a purpose for our life. That he's an awesome God. And that this world needs the message you and I have. We don't need their message. I can care less what their narratives are. And it irks me inside so much when I see and hear pastors like, well, we should be like this or like that. And I'm thinking, man, that's what the world is saying and doing. That's where they got that narrative. They have forgotten. We're men of faith. We believe what we do not see. We have hope in expectations of really good things to come. I would have lost heart had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I believe God's going to do good things in my life. I better slow down. I got this. From the best, the nicest restroom in the Calvary Chapel movement is right here. Whenever we got to do like Instagram clips, we're going to use your restroom. Hey, I'm here at Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills. It's so nice, but These days are dark, but God is, these days are dark, but God has chosen us men to live in these days. Think about that. They're dark, they're crazy, but in his infinite wisdom, he said, for such a time as this, these are the right guys. These are the right guys I want here to deal with it. To be light, to be salt, to be witnesses, to stand in the gap. I'm going to show myself strong to these men. Not the men in the past generation. You guys, this is our time. God put us here for this time. This is why you're actually alive. You want to know why your heart's still ticking? Because God wants to use you. So be careful with that idleness, right? If you don't want to be used, he might just, you know what? You're not doing anything anyways. I'm just going to take you home now. You know? Jesus said in Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But it will not happen to you or I. Paul is saying, love one another. Owe no one anything but to love one another. Don't let your heart wax cold just because injustices are happening all over the place. Lawlessness. They're letting out criminals. They're not checking crime. All the madness that's happening, don't let it harden your heart. That won't happen to you or I. As long as we love the Lord with all of our heart, his love will flourish in our hearts, will burn in our hearts, and we'll love others. It won't wax cold, but it has to, unless you pull away from the Lord. Peter, in his first epistle, chapter 4, verse 7, you can write it down, 7 and 10, through 10, you can write it down. I'm just going to read it for you. Check it out later, and we'll turn to some other pages soon. He said, but the end of all things is at hand. The end of all things is at hand. And he goes, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Charity is love, right? So he says, you know, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. He said, use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Peter's saying, love one another because it's the end of times. Have a fervent love for one another. And the word fervent means hot. It means very warm, ardent, earnest, excited, animated, glowing as fervent zeal, fervent piety. Have a strong love for one another. I need that. We all need that. What the world is attracted to is your love for one another. I came in here, man, you guys gave me love, and just I love being here. I told your pastor, I'm just going to sleep right there. Use that restroom. It's love. The world needs love. Fervent love. The Lord has spoken to my heart, and it's something I've been, my heart's been, it's heavy, because the part of love that I feel is in jeopardy is not love that is hospitable. It's not the love that, you know, let me get you a cup of water and some food, or the kind of love that I think is in jeopardy today is the love of being our brother's keeper. I think that kind of love is in jeopardy. Nobody wants to lovingly correct their brethren anymore. I think it's an epidemic in the church where we see a brother slipping, failing, falling away, sinning maybe. You hear of compromise, and the Lord shows you that. And yet there's men who won't deal with it when God has shown it to them. And to deal with it properly, Galatians 6 says, you know, to deal with them, you know, you who are spiritual, you know, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. But still, deal with it. I'm afraid that people aren't going to deal with sin within the body of Christ, within the church of Jesus Christ in the last days. My goodness, if the pastors aren't warning the people, telling them to change and preaching warnings about sin, How much more the flock's going to be less apt to deal with sin in their own lives and in the lives of the brethren. And we're a family. We're a family. And if you were bleeding from your arm, and I would not say to you, brother, you're bleeding from your arm. Can we get a tourniquet on you or help you out? What kind of a brother would I be? And the Lord is clear about sins. They easily ensnare. They are weights. They lead to death. And the flesh that's in all of us, it hasn't been redeemed. Your spirit has, but not your flesh. Your flesh hates you, and your flesh and mine is evil. It hates you. And so we can't be ignorant about the propensity for any of us to yield to the flesh and do stupid things. But God forbid, if you see me sinning, love me enough to tell me something. Because I believe if you don't, God's going to chasten you. And the sin that you don't help me get right with is now your sin because you saw it and you gave me no warning. I think that kind of love is a love that's missing in the church today. Turn with me to Ezekiel 3, please. Verse 17. And give me an amen once you're there. That's just my thing. I wonder if anybody says amen to me, but they really weren't there. Lying in church. Ezekiel 3:17. We there? Okay. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood, listen to this, I will require at your hand. Yet, if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, verse 20, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because you did not give him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he has done, shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning. Also, you will have delivered your soul. Hey, guys, Ezekiel ain't the only watchman. You are too. I am too. Remember when Cain killed his brother Abel, and the Lord says, hey, where's your brother? He goes, am I my brother's keeper? And we learn from that story that absolutely you are. Absolutely. We're to love God and love our neighbor as ourself. So if you truly believe that sin and compromise leads to death and destruction, why wouldn't you say anything? So we want to be watchmen. We want to understand that God has called us for such a time as this to be men who open up our eyes and our hearts in a loving way, that if you see something, God is probably testing you to say something lovingly to that brother. You know, Matthew 18, him, and just go to him and, man, I love you, but this, Galatians 6, I see this. You should get this right because God says this, I love you. Not to be sin sniffers and trying to inspect everybody and like weird like that. It's just you live your life as a Christian and the Lord will make sure someone hears about some to help them. Wow. You know, I hate going to Walmart at 9 o'clock. You go there and you like see a brother that's been back, you know, and you run into him. Why? Accidents happen? No. It's the Lord. All day it's the Lord. So that's the kind of love that I feel is in jeopardy. And we must pray to the Lord to love that much. Because people are afraid that they might lose friends. They may lose family. They may lose status or ministry. They may lose pensions. You know, Jesus said, even some of the elect will be seduced in the last days. And this is why we have to stay strong to his word. And this is why we're here as watchmen, loving watchmen. That if you see something wrong, brothers, my heart has been broken over some of my heroes in the Calvary movement. It's interesting. We're praying that we stay the course, that having begun in the Spirit, that we end in the Spirit as well. The flesh is weak. The flesh wants to bring upon fear in our lives so that we don't say anything. Fear of preaching truth because people might leave our churches. Are you serious? Chuck Smith never did that. He just gave it out, trusting that God will do his thing. And God blesses his word. But people are afraid. Don't be afraid to lose whatever you think is worth losing, not losing. You know what I mean? Jesus is worth it. He pulled us out of the pit of hell. He's worth it. He says in Matthew 10, verse 34, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. I mean, the test, the words are there because we're all going to be tested. Are we going to honor God or worry about family dissing us, leaving us, excluding us, or friends, or positions? Think about it. All of us will be tested on our love for the Lord. He's right. He's right. If we love him above the blessings that he's given us, if we love the creator above the creatures, the blessings that he's given us, he's right. We find our life. He's right. If we lose our life for his sake, if we're willing to lose it all to stand for his word, I'm okay with losing friends. You know that? I've had to lose so many friends. Family, I haven't spoke to some family in some 14 years because of my faith. I pray for them. God knows I pray for them. But he promised me it would be this way for some of us. And then you have people who are like, well, we've been friends for a long time. We've done ministry forever. Yeah, just let things be. No, you don't let things be. You wouldn't have had that friend had it not been for the Lord. And the Lord's now testing that friendship 20, 30 years later, whether you're going to tell him what he needs to hear. I mean, one of our heroes just came out stinking, telling dudes that he doesn't care and that he drinks. All right. Yeah, we have liberties. But only don't let your liberty be a stumbling block for your brother. What happened to that? What happened to the countless of people that have been saved from the addiction of drugs and alcohol over 35 years? And now you say that. God tests the hearts, and we need to finish well in the Spirit. And I was blessed to be asked to share the pulpit with that man. And I said, I will not speak there with him. And that was the most loving thing that I can do. I don't know him personally, just acquaintance, but the one who invited me, I know very well. And for him, I needed to be an example, the one I know. Because I don't care, I'll lose friends, I'll lose family for Jesus. I love Jesus. I love him. I love him. Because he pulled me out of hell. I love him. So, anyways. Jesus said in Mark 8:38, whoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And you know what? He's given me such a huge family. You know what I mean? It was my birthday on Thursday. You should have seen the blessed happy birthday. It's a song for at church. It's crazy. It's like he's blowing my mind with blessings. Big cakes and stuff. And who am I? Who are you? He rejoices over you. He rejoices over you. His thoughts towards you and I are innumerable. He has amazing things in store for us. He's a good God. But that's the kind of love I think is in jeopardy. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. Don't be the one just giving cookies, but you ain't going to give the loving rebuke when you have to on the rear end. Pat on the rear. Get going. What are you doing? You know? Have you lost your mind? Is that love? Yeah. Some circles. You can do that to me. I'll take it as love. Verse 11. And do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And here the Lord, through Paul, is saying, and do this knowing the time. The Lord is assuming that the church at Rome knew what time it was concerning the signs of the time. The Lord assumes that you and I know what time it is. He does. Do you know what time it is? God assumes that you do. And he says it to encourage us to, well, we better know what time it is. Yeah. Take a look around. Take a look around. Read the paper. Watch a couple of news things. Read your word. Keep your eyes open. Walk circumspectfully. He sent us out into the world. He said, be as wise as serpents and gentle as doves. So don't be engulfed with media and the news, but you gotta see what they're saying on both sides so that you can clearly see, my goodness, they are deceived. And remember that when Satan is cast down at the judgment in the book of Revelation, God says concerning him, this is the one who deceived the nations. That's why during COVID, we realized when doctors and scientists and all of them were coming out and you realized that they were censoring their voices, we opened up really quick. Because we know that the whole world lies under the sway of the devil. So we opened up and we began to warn people. Check other resources. We respect your decision, but check other resources. Our doors are going to remain open. You want to do what you want to wear, whatever you want to wear, wear it. I'm not, but go for it. We love you anyway. Do you see what I'm saying? Because our job is to, is to know what's going on. And because remember Jesus was asked by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, show us a sign, they said to him. And he said to them in Matthew 16, and they were testing him, he answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. Well, you can check your, like in modern speech, you can check your iPhone to see what the weather's going to be tomorrow. You can't tell what's going on. You know what I mean? Yeah, you can. Oh my goodness, the World Health, World Economic Forum and those guys, you know, they ain't even hiding it. We want to take over. We want to take over all your cash, all your property, all of, yes, we do, absolutely. We're not hiding it. And then there's Christians like, oh, you know, dissing political churches. I don't get it. Political what? If we had Trump rallies every Sunday, I get it, but that's not what's happening. You mean the changes that are happening so rapidly as we're teaching the word, we can say, yeah, some of these things are happening. Hello, Revelation 13, 666, Mark of the Beast, one world government. Like, I can't touch on some crazy thing that Bill Gates just said or you know what I mean? Like, you know, and there's that kind of, like, you know, they hear one. It's just weird what's going on, the narratives, the hating, you know. Yeah, I don't get it. We don't have Trump rallies at our church, but we just, yeah, we hit it because, man, did you guys hear that crazy thing that just happened? Roe versus Wade was overturned. Let's celebrate. Hello? You know, like I'm not going to, you know what I mean? Well, does that make me political? Whatever. I don't care. I don't care one bit. God's blessing the pastors that are, you know, but it's weird, the narrative. Pastor, you know, and they're passing it. I'm a knucklehead. I said, where'd you hear that from? From who? From who? From who? Then I go, oh, he heard it. I know he's that dude's boy, so he heard it from him. Nah. Nah. Yeah, I think Jack Hibbs is pretty cool. I think Ken Graves is pretty cool. And I just believe they preach the gospel. But they hit on things. And they should be encouraged. I went to the East Coast Philadelphia Pastors Conference. And I was like, I'm from the West. I'm from Southern California, you know. Dude, there was a guy from New York just slamming the West Coast, right? Slamming the West Coast. He's a bald guy from New York. He's up there sweating and just boom. The revival happened on the West Coast. The revival is going to happen now on the East Coast and all this stuff, right? So I went up to him afterwards. And he was talking to somebody and he goes, I would not want to mess with that guy. He pointed at me and he said, because I was walking by, and I go, oh, it's open door. It's not an accident, it's the Lord. So I grabbed him and I hugged him and I kissed him and I said, I'm from the West Coast. And he goes, we thank you for everything. But we giggled because he's just a tough guy, whatever. So we giggled and but the guys were telling me when they found out I was from Southern California, you know what they were saying to me? We love Jack. Because nationally, the Lord's using him. Someone's got to say something. You know, I'm not saying he's perfect or whatever, so don't misquote me. I'm just saying, if you hear some of that, dude, somebody's got to tell us something, you know? Where other big shots are posting up BLM stuff and crazy stuff. Anyways, let me get back to this. But, you know, it's like the World Economic Forum. Like, they ain't hiding it. You should know this stuff. College was meant to teach kids critical thinking, and they're not. And they're teaching them the opposite. But we as Christian men should teach our boys, think clearly, think biblically, critically think through a biblical worldview. Like, our youth group at our church, our kids, I mean, they're all getting all of the current event stuff. Let's stir it up. This is what happened. This is what you're going to get in class. We're the experts on sexual immorality warning. We are. Don't let them tell you what this madness is. We're going to be the ones to tell you what's going on immorally. Like, this is bad, and this is bad, and this is, you know, what is it called? Preemptively. Just using whatever skills God gives us. Knowing what's going on. God, you know, he assumed, you know, and do this knowing the time. You know the time. That now it's high time. Right? It's like it is the time. It is like if there ever was a time to do this, it's now. To awake out of sleep. Like, don't be lethargic spiritually. Don't be an active in the church. Get active. You know, we had our men's breakfast and we were going through A.W. Tozer's The Voice of a Prophet. And in reality, man, we don't need pastors and Christian men. We need prophet Christian men and prophet pastors in tune with the Spirit and just going for it. You know what I mean? Warning, like the spirit of Elijah, like on John the Baptist. And A.W. Tozer was speaking on John, how he was sent as the forerunner. Somebody mentioned him as a forerunner. But anyways, he made the crooked path straight. What crooked paths are in our lives? The roads were made clean for the king to come. The potholes, brush, weeds, clear it out. Make it smooth. Can Jesus come and park his chariot in your life, in your house? What is in your life that is sin that needs to be removed? And we were talking about, you know, the sins that Paul mentions in the Ten Commandments are heavy, right? The adultery, the murder, you know, hopefully you're not killing people. But A.W. Tozer says it's the sins of omission that are getting the church. It's not doing what you know exactly what you should be doing, which is getting in church, which is praying to the Lord, which is spending time in his word, just loving God first and serving. Jesus said, he who serves me, my Father will honor him. We don't know about a national revival. They talk about it, you know, churches, we praying for a revival. Dude, I'm praying for a revival in my own heart, my own life. You know what I'm saying? That's what we need. That's what we can control. I can't control a national revival, but I sure can control what needs to be done in my life and stop omitting things that need to be done through spiritual laziness or the worship of human weakness. Oh, my knee hurts again. Yeah, everything hurts. Everything hurts. Roll in here and show the women how awesome we are. That we roll in here all messed up, squirting Visine in our eyes. Now it's not for the party life. Now it's just life. You know? I don't know what a Christian's supposed to look like. Just full of joy. But we should look like a bunch of ragtag misfits. I'm not a cookie cutter Christian. I'm not Joel Osteen. I'm an ex-gang member who Jesus redeemed to use to preach the gospel. And I'm sorry I look like this, but this is what he does to the glory of his grace, you know? Anyways, know what's going on. Ephesians 5, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. For now your salvation is nearer than when you first believed. Right? We're going to get to heaven sooner than when you first got saved. You're closer. I'm closer. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. The night is far spent. The night of darkness. This world is under the sway of the devil. It's considered the night. And it is far spent. Satan knows he's at the end of his time. So he's ramping it up with all kinds of temptations, with all kinds of wickedness. You know, wickedness that's cloaked in godliness. You know what I'm saying? Which is the worst. We have to discern fakeness. We have to be real with the Lord. Because they're coming from all these angles. You know, and the night is far spent. The day is at hand. The day of the Lord is coming, guys. He's going to pull the church up out of here. Warn somebody. You got to get right. You know, if you really believe he can come at any moment for the church, he can come for you at any moment, man, we would be more straightforward with people. And sometimes I get like weird and really straightforward with people. The Holy Spirit leads me to just, you know, Depends, you know what I mean? I tell people that God loves them. I do. Some save with fear, though. Sometimes you got to tell a dude that you love. Maybe a friend who hasn't repented, he knows you're a Christian. Some of my old friends, man, if you don't give your life to the Lord, he's going to cut you up. They're like, what? That's what I mean. Because it's like, I'm not trying to be sensational. Was he trying to be sensational where he says, where the worm doesn't die and where there's gnashing of the teeth and where the thirst is not quenched? He wasn't being, he's being truthful. And sometimes you gotta win some with fear. However the Spirit leads, you know, it is his kindness that leads to repentance, but he also says, you know what? Tell that dude, you know what? In 3 days, none of us is gonna perish unless you repent. You know, because he can come at any moment, guys. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Because he is coming, it's time to cast off the works of darkness and put on his light. Put on Jesus. That's a blessing to me that the train's coming. I remember Spurgeon saying one time, or I read that he said one time. Yeah, me and Spurgeon were hanging out. Yes, I'm old. But anyways, but he said, you know, there's just some prayers that are, there's just some blessings that are so big that you've prayed for, that are so big that they take their time. It takes longer for them to get to you because the freights are so big of a blessing. So when I hear the train, it reminds me of big old blessings coming. So anyways, that's a side note. That's a sidebar. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and in lust. You know, I don't hit on it a lot, but I think, you know, pornography. There's kids in here, so I'm going to, you know, take it easy a little bit, but I have no concept of being a man gripped and in bondage to pornography in 2022. I was a dog before I came to the Lord, very much immoral sexually, and even still, everyone had their stash of magazines at the time. Just because I was a dog, and whatever movies or whatever, because I was a dog. And in my unbelief, that's what I did like everybody else. With the phones now, my heart goes out to this generation. And with the variety of wickedness out there, if you're dealing with it, God's answer is to get rid of it, all of it, right? Draw close to God, and he will draw close to you. Cry out to Jesus for help, because it is a spiritual issue, and you beg the Lord to help that, to help you get rid of it. And make all the changes that you have to do. Remember he said, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your Right eye causes you to sin. Pluck it out. It's better for you to enter into heaven maimed than to enter into hell with all of your limbs. Be serious about it. I think of Joseph and Potiphar's wife. When she tried to throw herself on him, he took off and ran, left his coat there. The Bible says, flee youthful lusts. And I know that, you know, it does, you know, there's older brothers in here. I see the glorious white hair. I know it doesn't go away. It goes away, then it comes, and you think you're over it, and then it comes because these bodies have not been redeemed. So we have to put on the armor of God. We have to resist the devil so that he flees from us. We have to let God have control of our thought life. I'm a sinner. I'm just a sinner. I do not trust my heart. I am capable of doing evil things. So we go to Jesus. Jesus changes everything. Personal revival is up to you. We had in the ministry when we started, we had like 30 people for a Sunday. We had 30 people for like 5 years. I thought to myself, well, I don't think I'm that bad of a teacher. And God just, by his grace, showed me that he needed more time with me to mold me to be more like Jesus, because he wants me to love his people and he wants me to get over myself. You know what I mean? And he's been killing me ever since. He wants us to be content and full of joy where we're at. And if you're not full of joy, and you're that dude that's just like depressed all the time because your ministry hasn't happened, or your relationship didn't turn out, or the job you didn't get, or whatever, I can guarantee you one thing. You have Jesus, you're all right. All things are working together for good. Trust that word. But he's wanting you to be happy in whatever state you are, to learn to be content in that. And with a big old smile, thinking, yeah, it may not be too good right now, but my God's good. He's going to bless me eventually. And just spend that time with him. It's free. Take off your watch. Spend time with him in prayer. And don't leave until he's done. And if you leave your devotion tomorrow morning and can be a jerk to your wife 20 minutes later, you know that was a fake devotion. Go have a real devotion. And when you leave it, you're more like Jesus. And I have to see him and pray often because I'm so bad. A lot of repentance for me every day. But he does this thing. That's why the Bible says pray without ceasing. That's why the Bible says, Luke said of Jesus, he desires that men pray everywhere and not lose heart. That's why he told Peter, James, and John at the Garden of Gethsemane, pray lest you enter into temptation. Whether it's temptation you're dealing with, whether it's... My worst problem is just dealing with Ryan. That's my problem. What's your problem? You. You can get over you. Man, he'll use your life. That's it. Tomorrow, my biggest problem is me. Until we're in heaven, then we'll be fine. Does that make sense? No? Does it make sense? Yeah, come on. Yeah. What else? And do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. You're here for a reason. Homeboys, and it is to be his men. his men, his boys, his mijos. He's going to use you. He loves you so much. So much. My goodness. I can't wait to hear all about the stories as I fellowship more with you guys. Amen? Father, we thank you for your grace, your love, and your mercy. We pray your blessing upon this place, Lord, this holy church that you've blessed and birthed, Lord. Oh, Father, may your presence be so thick and rich here. And may the prayers that are offered up from this church be heard by you, received by you, and answered by you, Lord. I thank you for these men. I thank you for their love for you and for them coming here, Lord. They're a blessing, Lord. They bless my heart. I pray for each and every one of them that you would, Lord, touch them and bless them in a special way, that they would find fresh new times of prayer and the study of your word in their homes, and that, Lord God, excuses for all of us would be put aside and that we would get busy doing your will, but plowing in hope, knowing you're going to bless eventually, as you already have so much. And while all heads are bowed, if there's anybody here who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you haven't given him your heart, and you know that you've sinned against him, and you want to get right, and you're willing to repent this moment and to ask him to come into your heart, I want to ask you to raise your hand so that I can lead you in a prayer of asking Jesus to come into your heart. Remember what he said. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father and the angels in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you. So is there anybody here who wants to get right, needs to get right? Just raise your hand. Maybe you're here and you want to rededicate your life. You said the prayer before, but you haven't surrendered. You've been living for yourself. But this moment, God has spoken to your heart, and you want to just give him your heart again. Is there anybody here who needs to do that? Is there anybody here? Oh, shoot, we're all good then. Father, we just ask your blessing upon our fellowship now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.